pocket sticky.
Right. Okay, thank you, Hans. What we'll discuss now is paper 12 on post-implementation review of IFRS 8. Paper 12 discusses the planned approach for the post-implementation review of IFRS 8 operating segments. The paper includes an update on the generic PIR process that now includes a public request for information phase. And the paper goes on to say that we propose conducting the investigation and reporting phases of the post-implementation review based on the three key decisions which were taken when developing IFRS 8. And those decisions were to identify the segments based on the management approach, to measure disclosed line items on the basis used for internal reporting, and to disclose only those line items regularly reviewed by the chief operating decision maker. Question one on page four asks whether you agree with that structure, and do you agree that these are the significant characteristics of IFRS 8 for our investigations?
Broadly, I would answer April's issue, yes. Segment reporting has been identified by professional analysts, by the CFA Institute and its predecessors, as probably the single most important piece of information, that a tool that an analyst uses to examine a company. As the author of IAS 14, the predecessor of IFRS 8, and also FASB 14, the predecessor of FASB 131, I must say I have some questions about the new standard. But my only issue, April, is that the questions should be stated in an unbiased way. Could I just ask us to turn to the three questions that you cited on page 11 of the paper, management perspective as a basis of segmentation, and I support that, but does it provide more relevant information to users? Well, I don't know whether somebody without all of the detailed history is going to be able to say more relevant than what. And the alternative is to mandate line of business and geographic. So I would try to state that question more neutrally so that somebody could answer honestly.
Is that taking out the more or?
No, just to say is it more useful to have this management approach to segmentation than for a standard to mandate geographical and industry segmentation?
Okay.
It's very simple.
Yes.
Then on question two, on page 15, you've sort of got the alternative in the parentheses, but does the required use of internally reported information provide more relevant information to users? I would then say than requiring that the segment data conform to IFRS. And in your question three, which is on the next page, does the required use of internally reported line items provide more relevant information to users? Unless you really you've been immersed in segment reporting for the last 5 years, you don't know more relevant than what. And the more is mandated specific disclosures, like you must disclose segment revenue, segment gross profit or pre-tax, segment assets liability. So just reword the question to say, does reporting to the investor only what's reported to the chief operating decision maker provide more relevant information than mandating specific disclosures? So that's my suggestion.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. And if I could just say that when we get on to the next section of the paper, you'll see that in the request for information, we don't intend to actually go for specific questions or take things from the detailed issues document, which is in the appendix. We intend to ask much more top-level type questions just about the effect rather than leading them one way or the other, which I hope addresses that concern.
That sounds good.
Okay. Any other comments here? Way go.
Very simple question. As I understand, this is an ISB-only project.
Yes.
That's it. Any other questions?
Just a comment. Probably, I fully support what you have done, but just I would like to add one more. Normally, when we ask something in the early stage of new standards, complaint comes first. And so therefore, if we simply ask, complaint comes first, and good evaluation may come later, because it takes time for us to really evaluate. And personally, I think 2 years is a little bit too early. So then, if we did it in 2 years, just 2 years, in a short period, then I can easily imagine that lots of complaints come first. So then, I don't think we need to make some guidance or to describe it in your paper or something, but for ourselves, we have to understand those complaints must be a little bit discounted. And we have to ask the management or ask users their own view without evidence. What do you think about the future of this project, I mean this standard? Because if we ask evidence only and do not ask view, then only the complaint comes with evidence. So that is the only fair I felt after reading your paper.
You would like to see whether they have alternatives.
I'm sorry, could I respond to Wei Guo's question, which was, is this an IASB-only project? And the response was accurate, it is. But we should be aware that FASB are also undertaking a post-implementation review of IAS 31. I don't really know where that stands, and I don't know...
The
parent, okay. I don't know where that stands. I don't. Since the standards are identical, the IFRS 8 and FAS 131, are we coordinating our reviews? Or that's my question. Where does the FAF review stand, and will there be some kind of coordination, or are they two separate, completely separate reviews?
We are speaking with them, Paul, and coordinating to the extent that it makes sense to do so. But much of what we are looking at or who we are approaching are different, because we're interested in IFRS preparers, and they're interested in, obviously, US GAAP preparers, and there are very few companies these days that would prepare both sets of GAAP financial statements. So we are looking at different populations on the whole. We're also looking at it from a different perspective, because we're looking at something that has only been implemented quite recently, whereas they're looking at a standard that was implemented quite some time ago. And so they're approaching it from, of course, a different perspective from that point of view. Our approaches themselves obviously are very different as well. Ours is part of our standard setting process, and therefore it's conducted by the board and in the same way as we conduct other parts of our standard setting process, in that there's a high degree of sort of public consultation or public outreach involved in it. Whereas the FAF approach is quite different in that regard. It's more of a private review, albeit with a public report at the end of it. April, is there anything more you wanted to add on our conversations with the FAF?
No, I mean, as Michael said, we do have frequent conversations with the staff at the FAF who are conducting the review. And I think for our purposes, the area that we're interested in is when we come to see the conclusions. Obviously, to the extent that the FAF and the board come to different conclusions based on the evidence they see, we would want to understand what the basis of that was. And there may well be reasons for those conclusions to be different because we're looking at it from different perspectives.
Okay. With that, April, what could be the possible outcomes of the FAF review?
What might be the action that the FASB could take? Anything? Nothing?
I think the FAF review, they published a document in December or January to say what the basis of their post-implementations review were. And I think in that document they do say that the outcomes, there are a range of outcomes, and it could include changing the standard. But I think to a large extent the report is looking at, was the due process handled properly? Was the standard-setting process itself done in a way that gave expected results from the FASB's point of view? And I think they look at that much more than they look at what was the effect of the standard on financial reporting, which is more of our emphasis.
How would anybody know? Because how old is that standard?
Go ahead, Abram, I'm sorry.
Sorry, it is very old. I think it was written in 1998 and was effective very soon thereafter. So
I think the due process at that time was followed diligently. I mean, what's the point? Who would know?
Yeah. Hans, I just had one observation. It relates to Paul's comments, which I had similar thoughts, but perhaps in a broader sense. In paragraph 1A, we said we're going to extend the review to include whether or not IFRS 8 or, frankly, I guess any standard improves financial reporting. And the observations that Paul made were geared towards the question of relative to what. And I think it would be helpful to narrow this so that it's not improve financial reporting in a broad altruistic sense, but that it improve financial reporting relative to the then existing standard, I think is the key issue that has to be asked in all these circumstances. Because if it's too broad, then essentially anybody could raise all kinds of issues about what they didn't get, you know, in the preliminary standard setting process. Whereas I think we have to confine it to what the board essentially put out relative to what was in place prior to that.
Now, we have 6 minutes left, so shall we try to go to the...
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So the question one, has that been, are you satisfied with that?
Yes.
Yep. Question two?
Question two, at the March meeting, remember you decided to include a request for information in the post-implementation review process, and we plan to publish that request for information in June. We propose basing the request for information on the three key characteristics of IFRS 8, that is the management approach, the internally reported measures, and the line items reviewed by the chief operating decision-making, plus a question on disclosures and one on costs and implementation. So question two on page five asks whether you agree with this approach of asking high-level questions and emphasizing the need for evidence and examples in support of the answers provided.
Yes,
agreed.
Okay. On page five onwards, the paper discusses the investigation process. The paper includes a list of preliminary issues identified for investigation and also discusses some other investigation tools that could be used in the post-implementation review in addition to a request for information process. So the last question on page eight is whether there are any additional issues you'd like included for completeness in the issues for investigation or whether any of those issues should be amended. And bear in mind that those issues themselves will not be in the request for information. They're just for background briefing and designing that. And we also ask you if you have any further investigation activities that you'd like to suggest to us.
I think they are excellent.
I think we're happy.
Thank you.
Thank you, April.
Thanks.
Michael.
Thank you.
And good evening. We break until
12:45.
I think there's an evening.